the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. It's Thursday morning. A day early with fake questions, real answers. This is the segment where there's things I want to talk about, but don't want to wait for you to ask me the question. So here we go. Dear Colin, Urban Meyer just named Trevor Lawrence the Jags starting quarterback. Why the hell did it take so long? Well, I've got sourcing on this. Urban Meyer has been the great culture creator in college. He did not want to hand anybody, including Trevor Lawrence, the job. You've got to earn every position, even if you're a number one pick or a starter last year. That's how you create a culture. But after back-to-back uninspiring offensive performances by Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, I'm told Urban Meyer decided, listen, we got to create identity. No more first-team snaps taken away from Trevor Lawrence. Remember, this is crucial. This is a rebuilding process, so the wins are going to be rare, but they are out there. And in the first month, three of the best opportunities for wins present themselves. They open with Houston, an absolute grease fire. They get to host Denver and Arizona, perceived third or fourth place teams in that Jacksonville Heat. Then they face rebuilding Cincinnati. Urban Meyer, I'm told, looked at the schedule and thought, this is not a 10-win team. It may be a 6-win team. Three of those wins could come in the Jacksonville Heat or against the Bengals or Houston, rebuilding teams. They didn't want to waste any more time not getting Trevor Lawrence first-team snaps. Dear Colin, you notice how people say the preseason doesn't matter, but then when a quarterback has a big game in the preseason, they act like there's proof that he's going to be great. Doesn't that drive you bonkers? No, it actually doesn't. Everything in life matters a little. I'll give an example. What's happening with restaurants in America, there's these things called restaurant groups. You can go to any city, Nashville, Austin, Texas, any city of size, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and there'll be a couple of restaurant groups where they own 7 or 8 restaurants. And these restaurant groups do a lot of research. It's called situational influence. They do testing on customer wait time tolerance, employee present tolerance, little tiny things you customers don't think about that restaurant groups do surveys on. Every 30 seconds counts when you go to eat. Are waiters hovering? Does it bother you? How long do you have to wait before you're seated? That stuff matters. You don't think it matters. I'm just going to go. Darlene and I are going to go get a chili dog at Der Wiener Schnitzel. It's not the way it works, cowboy. Just like in the preseason, there's a reason Miami and Baltimore look well coached. Because they are. There's a reason Houston and Philadelphia don't. Because they're not. I watch preseason for little tells, just like in poker, and there are plenty of them. Dear Colin, you see the Patriots just traded Sony Michel to the Rams for a couple of picks. Who do you think won the trade? I don't. We have no idea who won the trade. When I sell a house and you buy my house, I'm not worried about the winner. I want it out. You want it in. That's what we have with NFL trades. Listen, if you watch the Patriots, the perception is they won the trade. If you watch the Patriots, what is the big knock right now on New England's roster? Wouldn't we all agree? They don't have playmakers. They've been accumulating picks for 20 years, and they have no playmakers, meaning accumulating 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks doesn't land playmakers. I don't know if accumulating draft picks works. I know this. The Rams are a Super Bowl potential team, and they needed a running back, and they got one. Now, the perception is Cam Akers is a star, and Sony Michel is kind of a C-level back. All you have to do is go to the data. With the same coach and the same offensive line, Cam Akers averaged virtually the same yards per carry as Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown, somewhere between 4.1 and 4.4 yards a carry. Cam Akers is good. Sony Michel is good. There isn't a huge gap. If Akers was a star, he'd be averaging more than 0.2 yards per carry more than Henderson. Dear Colin, what's the one NFL game this season you can't wait to see? Actually, it's week one. Cleveland Browns at the Chiefs. Number one, Cleveland ended the season playing very well. They have no history of dealing with success. Can't wait to watch. Kansas City ended the season getting humiliated. Watch how focused and driven Kansas City is in week one. Andy Reid is also the best September football coach in the last 15 years in the NFL. Also, Cleveland's got 8 new starters on defense. I think eventually that secondary is going to be excellent. But now in the preseason, nobody plays starters. So their first real test is against the best quarterback, the best tight end, and the best play designer in the National Football League. I think Cleveland's in trouble, but I can't wait to watch. Dear Colin, there are people out there who keep complaining that you don't talk baseball when the Yankees and Red Sox are both making a push for the postseason, the Dodgers are red hot. Why don't you listen to them? Don't you know how to host a sports talk show? That is a very fantastic question. I have been struggling with this sports talk show thing for years, and you finally unveiled the problem. Listen, outside of the NFL, every sport in America has a season. College basketball season is 3 weeks in March. Don't blame me for college basketball's erosion. The one-and-done culture has hurt it. The season for the NBA is May, June, couple of weeks in July. Once the NFL draft ends, I go heavy for 10 weeks into the NBA. That's their season. The baseball season is about 6 to 7 weeks in late September and early October. Yes, I know. The season's much longer than that. But don't blame me because the sport for 20 years hasn't marketed their stars, has started World Series games and playoff games at 8:30 Eastern, basically eliminating kids who have to go to school from watching. Don't blame me because the sport has 162 games. In an increasingly frenetic and caffeinated world, they have no urgency. The way to get on my show is urgency. I'll talk about a UFC fight, a golf tournament, if it matters. And outside of the NFL, nothing really matters outside of those little weeks or moments of playoff action. Baseball, I watch it all the time. It's not a good topic outside of 7 weeks in September and October. And believe it or not, I have data to prove it. All right, let's bring in Chad Millman, the CCO of the Action Network, Chief Content Officer, CCO. Chief Content Officer. That's a title that didn't even exist like 4 hours ago. We've made that up. Literally in America, 5 years ago, if you'd have said, I am Chief Content Officer, you'd be like, you're fired. You're making shit up. We can't hire you here. You're making stuff up on the interview. No, I was a chief content officer of my last company. There's no such thing as content. Now, it's like one of the highest paying jobs in America. I do content. Come on in. We need you. Our content stinks. Make it better. All right, Millman. So I have what I believe. I do not believe in locks, but I'm going to throw and I don't bet preseason games. But I'm going to throw a tasty one at you. I am not a fan of Daryl Bevel or Brian Schottenheimer retreads. So not a shock that as Urban Meyer tries to mesh his college system with a pro system, there's no identity. They're struggling with it. So they make a decision in-house this week what I was told is, if you look at their schedule, four of their most winnable games are their first four. Houston's awful. They get Denver and Arizona, average teams, in that Jacksonville heat. And then they get Cincinnati. And Urban Meyer looks at it and says, okay, no more sharing snaps. We got to get this. September could be our best month. And their Jaguars at the Cowboys. What do you make? So look at the line right now on FanDuel. And I want your initial interpretation, Jags at the Cowboys. What is your initial interpretation? Tell the audience the line and your feeling on it.
So this is a preseason game. It's the Jaguars at Dallas plus 3.5. The Cowboys are 3.5-point underdogs in this game because of what you just said. And what's interesting now, let me go big picture, then I'll go little picture. Big picture, three preseason games, right? You're used to getting four preseason games. Three preseason games. The third preseason game used to be the game where bettors are coming in at their heaviest because you know you're going to get the starters for the majority of the game. That's when they're going to play their most snaps. Now people are trying to figure out, okay, what am I doing with this third preseason game? You saw the Bears are going to be playing Justin Fields, basically saying Andy Dalton's going to be QB1 when the season begins. What you're talking about with Trevor Lawrence, they basically said, okay, he's going to be the starter. We want to get him as much play as possible. Dak Prescott, who knows, because he's been injured and people are saying, okay, he's finally starting to look okay. I don't disagree with you.
The line is, it's telling you Jacksonville's playing Trevor Lawrence a lot. The Cowboys are one of the weakest backup quarterback situational teams in the league. Jacksonville wants to win that game. That line tells me Jacksonville's playing starters.
Here's the thing. You're right from a fan perspective. This is where you are and where you have always been as a bettor. You are the conduit. You're like the guy who knows enough to understand what the line is telling me, but not the guy who recognizes that there's no value in betting the line anymore. Because I'm not going to bet the Jags as 3.5-point favorites on the road against the Cowboys because the bookmakers have already told me they've taken all the opportunity and the value out of that line. If the line was at pick, if the line was at Jags plus one, then I might have taken it. But it's Cowboys plus 3.5. That's telling me everything I need to know. You're 100% right. It's the bookmaker saying, we believe the Jags are going to be start playing their starters. They're the better team in this game. But if you believe the Jags are the better team in this game, and then you have to lay 4.5 points, I don't want to make that bet because there's no value and there's no opportunity. The ROI is going to be so much smaller than if I look for something else. So I agree with all of your premise, except I don't agree on the bet because I would not make it.
One of the things I always love about betting on football, I'm always finding new players or game props that I like. If you love the game, it's easy. And that's what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook. You can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. The same game parlay. You can place future bets on an upcoming college football and an NFL season. You can combine traditional bets with different props. There are future bets out there. Like I like taking the over on the Browns and Chargers win totals. Same game parlay is just one of the reasons I signed a deal with FanDuel. It's easy to use. You got live betting. Friends can use it. My friends love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. You get fast withdrawals when you win. FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. You get odds boosts and specials. Every day there's some big super boost each weekend around the biggest local or national matchups. There's just no feeling like nailing a big same-game parlay bet. Same-game parlay is their best thing. So lock it in on FanDuel Sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, create a same-game parlay, and use Colin. That's the key. Use Colin to sign up. New users, first bet risk-free up to $1,000. FanDuel, refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. So that's Colin. COLIN to let them know I sent you. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Jersey, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Site credit non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in New Jersey or Colorado or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Okay. So you said my position in the betting world is... Say that again for the audience, because I have...
You know so much about betting, and you know enough to recognize that when the line, you know enough to recognize how to interpret the line and what it means from a bookmaker's perspective. But then you go ahead and do exactly what the public would do, which is bet it, because you think, okay, the Jaguars are playing the starters, whereas a professional bettor wouldn't bet this game because the line, the value is all gone.
See, I consider myself in England, I'm a crumpet. I am the middleman in American betting, what you're saying is.
Yes.
So I feel I'm like in England, a crumpet. There's the royal family, which has nothing in common with the average English family, except the crumpet. The royal family eats a crumpet, probably with caviar on it, and the public eats crumpets, probably with peanut butter and jelly. So I am the crumpet.
I'm with you, man. I would argue that you have figured out, this is your gift. You have figured out how to represent the sports fan in every conversation, except you are probably 10 to 15% smarter than every sports fan, maybe even more. And you think about it more, and you think about the most interesting way to convey your opinion.
I'm 10% dumber than the average sharp.
100%.
That's where I'm a crumpet.
That is 100% true. But the beauty is you've known for years, everybody likes betting. I know I like betting. I know it's interesting, but it's not so interesting to me. I want to spend all of my time talking about it.
Yeah.
I want to know enough about it to convey it to the audience and understand that it's really important for them to know, and that there are 10% of the fans who are going to be really into it and will have a real good time listening to me talk about betting.
All right, let's go to week one. So the teams I'm underselling this year, and I get why I'm underselling them. I have a belief that if you're a well-run organization and the season ends poorly, it ignites a focus in the offseason. Patriots, Steelers, Kansas City. The Steelers were humiliated last game. The Chiefs were humiliated last game. And the Patriots had a crappy last month. Well-run and well-coached organizations that end poorly, that instills a real focus and willfulness in the offseason. So I generally like underdogs. If you can give me a competent quarterback and points, I like points. But Browns at Chiefs -6 in week one. I like Kansas City. I have 8 new starters for Cleveland. There's something going on culturally in the NFL. Nobody's playing starters. So the first real game for those 8 starters is not week 3 of the preseason in the NFL. It's week 1 of the regular season against the best play designer, the best quarterback, the best tight end, the fastest receiver, Kansas City. I think Kansas City ended the season being humiliated. I think, and by the way, Andy Reid's the best September football coach in the last 20 years in the league. That is the rare, I'm going to swallow 6. I know Cleveland's probably a playoff team. But Steelers, Patriots, Chiefs, well-run teams end poorly, creates a real focus in the offseason. Watch all 3 start very quickly. That's one of my favorite week 1 bets. Not my favorite, but one of them. Your thoughts?
I believe I am with you. I 100% agree with your theory that teams that have a history of being talented and that bring their coaching staff with them from 1 year to the next, all 3 of those, and that end the year badly, find ways to rebound. I believe it with the Chiefs. Their rebound isn't from not making the playoffs to making the playoffs. Their rebound is from kind of getting embarrassed in the Super Bowl. And I would argue they got embarrassed because their offensive line was in shambles and Patrick Mahomes was injured. this is a juggernaut of a team, and they've only gotten significantly better at the offensive line. I agree, the Browns, great value on the Browns. The Browns are one of those teams, if you're buying Super Bowl future value, they were in the low 20s and they've moved up into the mid-teens, right? From about 22 to 1 to 16 to 1. Kansas City at home, less than a touchdown early in the year. When I believe I've heard you talk about this on your show, Patrick Mahomes is unstoppable early in the year.
It's he really, might not lose. They're cartoon numbers. They're literally Alabama against out of conference games. It's insane.
Exactly. And so like they might not lose a game until week 10 or 11, whenever they play the Cowboys. That might be their first big challenge, if we think the Cowboys can become something of a challenge, right? So completely agree with you on that game. Let me say this about the Patriots and the Steelers. I am a bigger believer in the Patriots right now than I am in the Steelers. The biggest challenge for me, because I do believe they've improved in every area, I think getting guys back on defense from who sat out last year from COVID is really important for them. I think they've made improvements. I know everyone laughs about how many tight ends they've signed, but I think that actually just plays to the strength of their offense. I think the quarterback situation is now a challenge for them. Cam Newton being out, what he's deciding to do or not do with the vaccination, how that's going to impact things going forward. And then all this talk every day, Mac Jones, 21 to 23 against the Giants starters in practice. He's the greatest thing in the world. You just talked about Patrick Mahomes putting up cartoon numbers like he's Alabama. Mac Jones put up cartoon numbers with two top 10 wide receivers, a Heisman Trophy winning receiver, and against teams that were debilitated, decimated by COVID. I am not at all in any way a believer in Mac Jones yet. So that's what worries me about the Patriots.
All right, let's go back to week one. This is a game, I feel like it's a trap game. Bears at Rams, Rams minus 7 in week one. This feels trappy to me. First of all, Matt Stafford, first game, hasn't taken a snap. Cam Akers gone, Sony Michel in, but this is a fairly complex offense. Sony Michel's not going to be a factor. This is not going to be a dynamic week one or two offense. Okay, they lost Malcolm Brown to the Dolphins, Cam Akers, and now Daryl Henderson's hurt. So this is going to be a somewhat limited for two-week offense. Also with the Bears and Andy Dalton. If you go back to last year with Andy Dalton, Andy's always been as good as his surrounding cast. He was a Pro Bowler and a playoff quarterback in Cincinnati. If you go to his last seven games last year, remember, he had a concussion. He didn't get preseason. So let's not count every game he played. Let's go to his last seven. His numbers were better than Russell Wilson. They were even with Derek Carr. Don't kid yourself. Andy Dalton, week one, he's always been pretty learned. He picked up Dallas' system very quickly. I don't think this Rams team is going to have a lot of offensive symmetry early. I would take Chicago plus 7. That feels trappy to me.
Well, if you can get Chicago at 7.5, I like it even more. But look, obviously, I am somewhat biased in this because I love the Bears to death. But I also agree with you. And I think that one of the challenges for Los Angeles goes back to what Aqib Talib said on your podcast right after the trade. You said to him, what do NFL players think of Matthew Stafford going to the Rams? Aqib Talib said, Matthew Stafford? Like, there just isn't that sort of awe from players in the way the media is portraying the addition of Matthew Stafford to the Rams, right? And so I think there is a ton for him to prove in this scenario. As much as I hate Andy Dalton, and I think it's a joke that the Bears signed him, and I think it's a joke that they've sort of consistently said, okay, he's QB1, he's QB1. I think the reason he's QB1 is because the worst thing in the world you can do right now is put a rookie quarterback 3 inches from Aaron Donald in his first game ever.
I totally agree. And I don't like the Bears' O-line. I don't like their O-line.
And the Bears' O-line is terrible. Like, they drafted a guy to be their new left tackle, and immediately he's injured and is never getting on the field and might be out for most of the year. So I think you've got to give Andy Dalton the ball. The reason I like the bet is because of the defense. I think the Bears defense is actually markedly improved over last year. And so I like the bet.
I'm going to look on FanDuel, the offensive rookie of the year, some numbers here to throw at you.
Okay.
I'm going to throw Najee Harris plus 900. Here's why.
Okay.
I think the Steelers, first of all, they drafted two offensive linemen. They have a history of solving their problems quickly. They really do. Unlike the Packers, they are never afraid to pull a big trade or spend money on free agency. When they have an issue, like the back of their secondary, they engineer a trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They've always had a keen eye for personnel. Problems aside, they know personnel. Offensive line was a real issue last year. They go out and draft two offensive linemen, and according to PFF, they have graded very highly within this system. When you consider, I think, their urgency on creating a running game, Big Ben having his best offseason, their ability to solve problems quickly, Najee Harris is not a big home run hitter, but I feel like they're just frankly going to make this work. They are going to make Najee Harris work. And like Alabama, it's going to be an 18-20 carry Sunday. That's going to be the menu for him. I think Najee Harris, we always point to quarterbacks. Some of these quarterbacks, like Trey Lance, aren't playing much, or like Trevor Lawrence, are on bad teams. Najee Harris at plus 900 feels like a decent bet to me. Your thoughts?
Let me be a little nitpicky on what you said. Najee Harris will not make spectacular plays. Very good chance that, and we're going to pull so much of the podcast together in this answer. Very good chance the Steelers are the third best team in their division.
I think so.
Ravens, yeah. Behind the Ravens and the Browns. So, well, 9-1, plus 900, 9-1 is great value. Totally agree with it. I don't think he's going to be in the position to wow the voters. Whereas someone like Mac Jones, who's at 10-1, very well may be in the position to wow the voters. And while I just said I'm not a believer, sometimes you make bets on the futures. Those are about value and flyers, right? You sprinkle your future bets sort of all over the map. You take a 10-1 here, you can take a 9-1 here. And by the way, you can do both. You don't have to do one or the other. You can do $50 on Najee Harris and $100 on Mac Jones, and you might turn out in a great position, right? I've got like 9 futures bets to win the Super Bowl. I like Mac Jones better if you're making a choice, because there's a very good chance he is in a position to be in a glamour spot with a team that gets a lot of attention, a team that could compete for first place in that division if there is some regression, which I expect from the Bills. So I know you want to get in there. So to me, I feel like I'd rather take a flyer on a guy who's a little bit longer, who's going to have a chance to wow voters a little bit more, than a guy like Najee Harris, who's going to be in a sort of grinded out system for the team that I don't think will compete.
All right. Let me give you another one.
Okay.
FanDuel's NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Carson Wentz plus 1,000.
100%. Done. Do you want my take away? That's a good bet.
Well, the emergence of Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, have bettors caught up to that? I think Jonathan Taylor became a star. You go back to that Buffalo game. The Colts were a tough Buffalo, struggled getting them off the field.
This is what's great about betting. And this is where wise guys separate themselves from people who don't do this as regularly. They look inside the numbers, right? They think about, all right, it wasn't just Buffalo beat Indianapolis. It was, holy crap, Indianapolis should have won that game. And if not for a couple of weird plays, Indianapolis is moving on in the playoffs and Buffalo is not. And Buffalo is not making it to the AFC title game. Buffalo is a team that sort of underperformed and didn't live up to expectations when it got to the playoffs. The game is so minute. The moments in the game that matter are so happen so frequently, and they get forgotten after the game is over, except by the bettors who watch all this film. Carson Wentz, if he is able to play week one and have a full season, is primed to be the comeback player of the year, because so many bettors believe the Colts. If you look at the double-digit win totals, the Colts are at 10.5. They're behind Kansas City. They're behind Tampa Bay. They're behind Green Bay. They're behind Baltimore, right? They're at 10.5. I guarantee you the biggest liability is on the Colts, because every wise guy believes the Colts are going to be one of those teams, if Carson Wentz is playing, that can completely overperform.
Okay. By the way, for the audience, Chad Millman, my friend at the Action Network, CCO, a chief content officer, a job that did not even exist 5 years ago in the world. And now it's the best job everybody wants in the world, right? Like, it's ridiculous. Everybody wants to be chief content guy. So
true.
From this point forward, Chad will be my Friday podcast. Now, this week it's Thursday. I'm going to Chicago for the weekend. But Chad will be next 20 weeks of the Action Network. We will make our picks.
Cannot wait.
I know. Same here. I feel really good. I already have three picks.
I cannot wait to hear them, and I cannot wait to pick them apart and see your reaction. There's no better reaction when you are told you are wrong and given a reason that you are wrong that you actually like.
Yeah, wrong is my identity. I'm okay with it. So, random question before we go. Because I went to Vegas last weekend, and minimum lost 3 years off my life. I knew that. Didn't eat, drank. If there was a tote board, you don't know how long you're going to live. But there was a study this week. Every hot dog you eat, you lose 45 minutes of your life. And there was a tote board on minuses. You drink, you have nights with three cocktails or more, you lose 6 days. There was a tote board. And I'll just throw this at you. Alcohol, and it said it was going to take 3 years off your life if you drank regularly. Would you stop drinking?
Well, would it be 3 years? I'm going to make it to 80 instead of 83?
Yeah.
Probably no. If I'm going to make it to, I would keep drinking then, because the greatness from 80 to 83, I think there's diminishing returns at that point. If you're telling me I'm 60 and I'm going to be done at 57, I'd probably stop drinking, because, you know, those are important years. I wouldn't stop eating hot dogs, though. Like, to me, listen, I grew up in Chicago, right? And I had a hot dog cart when I was in high school. Like, it was a job. I pushed it around my town, and I would make hot dogs. I was once at the World Series for the Cubs, and I was making a hot dog, and the guy next to me said, "That is like a work of art." And it was almost like no one's giving me as good a compliment. To be complimented on the hot dog you make at Wrigley Field by a fellow Chicagoan, it's a gift, right? I would give up alcohol before I gave up hot dogs.
Oh, geez. I couldn't do that. I'm trying to think. You know, I saw a nutritionist like 7-8 years ago because my stomach wasn't right. And my sister had had a little stomach issue in her life. And I'm kind of neurotic on that stuff. So I went and I had to give up dairy. And I was eating like 4 Greek yogurts a day. I went cold turkey. I've never had any dairy since. Maybe a bite of ice cream 5 times a year. I think coffee and dark chocolate are the only two things I can't give up. I have a piece of dark chocolate every day of my life. I have coffee every day of my life. That's it. Seriously, I'm a good quitter.
I must have every day at 3 o'clock, 7 to 10 dark chocolate covered espresso beans.
Oh, seriously. Honestly, it's so good. Oh,
last week I came, I went down to the kitchen, opened the cupboard. The chocolate covered espresso beans were gone. And I said to my wife, "Where did they go?" She goes, "Nobody's eating them." I'm like, "I'm eating them. I'm just eating 7 to 10 a day. That's all I need." She goes, "You are such a fucking freak." And she just walked out of the room. I'm like, that's what I need. That's my fix at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The combination of the dark chocolate and the espresso is perfect.
It literally perfect. Outside of that, I'm not good at doing stuff, but I'm great at quitting stuff. Always have been. I'm not like, if you give me, you've got to do this to get this, I'll half-ass it. But if you just say, you're going to die if you... What?
This is the beauty of Cowherd right now. I'm a regular guy who's great at quitting things, except I've got a podcast network that's blowing up. I've got one of the most successful radio careers in audio history. I'm on a national television show.
Oh, come on.
Like, I mean, you come on.
Listen, whatever. I don't want to talk about me. What do you think of me? Let's talk about you. My favorite joke. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? All right, I'm done. All right, Millman. So I'm going to Chicago this weekend. Oh, I'm going to a couple good restaurants. I shouldn't say this publicly. I'm going to RL, one of the nine. I'm there for like 3 days. RL's.
Yep.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm going to, I can't say the other one. You know what? Maybe,
tell me off air. Text me. Text me where you're going.
You know what I love about Chicago? This sounds weird. Every time I go to Chicago with my wife, it's a sexy town.
Well, it's especially if you go during like May through September, because it's a little bit lighter, longer. There's a great vibe. You can walk along the beach. I completely agree. Look, I love the city to death. It's everything to me.
When I go there with my wife, she gets all dolled up. There's something about Chicago with her. She just puts on, the effort is just exceptional.
You stay in a nice hotel. You stay downtown. You're walkable to everything.
And the most beautiful people, like on the West Coast, beautiful people pick a lot of different places. East Coast, same thing. In the Midwest, it's like all the beautiful people go to Chicago. It's the best looking people. People are good looking in Chicago. And so my wife's around it. It's almost like she's just, it's the vibe. I like, when I go to Chicago, good things happen to me.
Well, listen, there is in Chicago, there is an area of the Gold Coast known as
the Viagra Triangle. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. I got 400 blue pills I'm taking on the plane. I can't wait.
Then, by the way, I know exactly where you're going to be.
All right, Millman, good seeing you.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right, listen to The Volume Sports on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, rate, review, subscribe. Good stuff. Talk soon.
Volume.